Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In my opinion, like, if you don't have the coach or the coach doesn't have the team under him, then, like, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what you do. Like, it's just not going to work. And Sean Payton's tried and tested and proven, and you have to buy into exactly what he wants to do and be able to, like, work with him and collaborate with him, and that's going to take more than a year.
Welcome into the show. Ryan O'Leary here, usually joined by Broncos Wire Managing Editor John Heath. But for this episode, we're going to step aside. And that is because Brandon Walker, a correspondent writer for Broncos Wire in front of the program, well, he recently interviewed someone a hell of a lot more famous than us. And that is actor and Broncos fan Wyatt Russell. Russell, who has appeared in 24 films and 10 TV shows during his acting career, spoke with Brandon to promote Lake Hour, his new canned cocktail company. But the guys discussed a bunch of topics, a lot of stuff concerning the Broncos, getting Russell's take on it. And without further ado, here's the full interview.
So you've been a Broncos fan pretty much all your life.
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, 98, 99, because I was about 12, 13, kind of just getting into football a little bit. You know, I was a hockey player, so it was all hockey. And so when I started to get into football, I was like, well, I guess there's another team. And then the LA Super Bowl years were, like, so epic that it was, like, the perfect timing for me to be a Broncos fan. And then I had to weather the storm for...
Some might say we're still weathering the storm.
I think we're into another storm weather pattern.
That's fair. I totally understand that. So I've been born and raised out here in Colorado. Born and raised all my life. So I've been a Broncos fan from the day I was born. So I understand the ups and downs of being a Broncos fan and doing all that.
Yeah, totally. Like, rooting for Kyle Orton was, like, a hard thing to do.
I remember those years. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in, like, seventh grade during the Tebow years. Maybe a freshman in high school.
But, I must be older than you then, because Tebow, I was about, it must have been 22, 23. And that was, like, you know, absolute miracle.
Oh, yeah. No, those years were great. First of all, the reason we kind of got this whole how we got connected was your guys reached out to us about your dog, your family's Labrador Retriever. He was in the Budweiser Super Bowl commercial with the Clydesdales this year, and he has now signed an endorsement with Lake Hour, a canned cocktail. So. I understand you're the co-founder and co-CEO of Lake Hour. Can you tell us a little bit about your dog, Roy's sponsorship and the drink itself?
The dog, Roy, is actually my parents' dog.
Oh, okay.
So I can't claim ownership to Roy. My parents are just his agents.
Okay.
they're acting on his behalf. And so we were like, well, they have, like, a person that was walking their dog and training and, like, doing some stuff with Roy. And she had called them, I guess, said, hey, you know, like, there's this ad, and I don't know if she even told them what it was for. And I think Roy might be really good for it. And then I was like, all right, that'd be great. Like, go take him out, see if he can get a job. And she takes him out, and it's like, hey, he did great. They love him. They love him. Like, he's got the perfect lab look. Can he like do this job? My dad was like, sure. What's it for? And they're like, well, it's for the Budweiser Super Bowl ad. The puppy's like all grown up, and they're like, Roy is perfect. He's like, oh my god, of course. So Roy went and did the commercial, and you know, whatever did what he needed to do. And then when we were watching the Super Bowl, like, it was like the most amazing game, but I think 90% of the time we were just waiting for Roy to come on the screen. And finally, like in the fourth quarter, it came on, and everyone was like cheering and laughing, and it was like, Roy, good boy. I think my sister took a video of it and posted it online or on Instagram. And it just like kind of blew up. It was like this hysterical thing. Roy was Goldie and Kurt's dog, and I just thought it was so funny. And as we were joking about it, I kind of jokingly was like, you know, what if, has Roy signed to a long-term deal? And it was like, no. I was like, well, can I negotiate with Roy about becoming the Lake Hour dog? And as we did that, it was just so fun and funny and kind of in the spirit of Lake Hour, which is the cocktail company that I own and run with Rich Pete, my partner. It was in the spirit of who we all, what the company is. It's like, it's fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And so we like put together a story where we, you know, Roy's now the, after many long years of loving working for Budweiser, a great company, it's moving on to, you know, take on a different role with a different company. He thinks he could, you know, we had all of these fun things that we thought would be just a blast, and it is fun to actually use Roy. Like, we have him there, and just excuse me, fun ways of like creating some fun, like, you know, everybody knows what it is, but it's just creating some fun around the brand of Lake Hour. And I never liked, you know, just someone holding a can like, drink this drink. It's like, okay, you know, that's not fun. Some celebrity just saying, drink my drink. It's like, what? There's no story. There's no world building. There's no storytelling. And we just thought it was a blast. So we have signed Roy to a long-term contract, 2 years, 14 years and dog years. And we'll be using him for stuff along the way and just for having fun with it. So that's the long and the short of Roy and Lake Hour. And we just started this. My friend Rich and I, our wives are best friends. They were like, "You guys got to meet." We were like, "Well, I don't know. Maybe having a friend. 37, I've got kids. Like, I don't know if we need more friends." We both felt we met each other. We're like, "Oh no, we totally, you know, we got to be friends." And we were just having fun, going like, "Oh, what if something was branded around lakes?" Because nothing really was branded around lakes in a real way. Like, we both grew up on lakes, going to lakes, big, huge part of our life. He lives on a lake now, where his whole family lives on in Canisius in upstate New York. And I lived on lakes in Canada growing up when I was like 15, but from when I was like 5 years old. We went to Canada every summer and spent the summer on Lake Rosso. And I have a house now here on a lake in California. And it's just a big part of our lives. And there's like a nostalgia, an inherent Americana, like a fun family environment. Just like harking back to good times where things were a little simpler. And we just thought that would be fun to do a drink around, to brand a story around. And it was very organic because that's what we did. Like, my family on my dad's side, like going back to the 1800s, ran hunting and fishing lodges on lakes. Like, that was their job. In Maine, in Rangeley, Maine. And so like the water and you know, that rural lake life is just a part of who I was. So it wasn't a stretch to like go out and sell it. You gotta go out and be proud of your drink. So we really, really, really had fun doing that. And then we wanted to make the flavors like unique and different. We didn't like the black cherry and like the sweet, overly sweet, crazy flavors that sometimes are just like, yeah, you know, not great. And in my opinion, some people love them, but we made it like kind of more subtle, and flavors are a little bit more unique. And it's been amazing. I mean, every time people have like tried the drink, they're like, "Oh my god, I actually like it." That's our joke. It's like, "Oh, actually," I think people go to sip it. We'll do tastings, and they're going to drink it. And they're like, "Another RGD. Okay, I'm going to prepare to hate it." And they take it, they drink it, they're like, "Oh, actually, this is like really good." We're like, "Yeah, I know. We tried really hard to make it like good." So that's where we are, and having a blast.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love the whole story behind Lake Hour and why it means so much to you. And it's great that you could find another friend. What, you said 37?
Yeah, 37. He's a Bills fan, unfortunately. So,
hey, we can commiserate together. They miss wide right. I mean, we've just had a run of bad luck. We can commiserate together.
That's true.
Very true. So, what does Roy get out of his deal? Out of his 2-year, 14-year deal?
Roy gets endless love.
Oh,
endless approval. Roy gets anything he wants. If Roy wants it, like, Roy gets it.
He's the star of the brand.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about hiring a dog. Like, they don't really want much more than your love and, like, food. So, like, we were like, hey, it's carte blanche. Whatever you want, Roy, do it. Take it.
And perfect.
So far he's been great. He hasn't wanted anything but food and toys.
Oh, that's awesome. I know our listeners are excited to check out Lake Hour, and I'm excited to see what more you guys come up with and how Roy's can continue to be a big part of the brand.
We're working hard on ideas right now.
Oh, that's awesome. And the whole story behind the Super Bowl ad is just hilarious and fantastic. I know. It was late when the Budweiser commercial came on in the Super Bowl, so I'm glad.
It was. We were waiting. We were like, when is this going to come on? Like, did they buy the ad? Did they get it in on time? And then we're like, oh, here he is, everyone. Like, Budweiser dog. We were joking, like, you know, the pie in the sky. We're like, oh, like, you know, Anheuser-Busch, they're obviously Anheuser-Busch. And it's like, hey, Roy can work for two companies. As long as the companies are, like, under the same umbrella. Like, Roy can work for me. Roy can be the Bud dog and the Lake Hour dog.
Right. Exactly. Under the same roof.
Sorry, say that again.
Sorry. I was just saying under the same roof.
Oh, yeah, under the same roof. And we're all good. We'll do a commercial where Roy is in the middle of the Budweiser team horse driver, and then Rich and I are on the other side on a lake beach, like, trying to coax Roy over, and he doesn't know which way to go, and they end up in a bar, and of course everybody can share Roy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And just like for the last couple minutes of our interview, do you mind talking a little bit more Broncos and coming up about what'd you think of this last season? It was Sean Payton's first season. What'd you think of it?
It's so hard to say. People want results so immediately. In any system, whether it's hockey or football, I mean, football is probably the hardest Titanic to turn around just because their systems are, like, so complicated. The language, like, everybody has to be on the same page in such a real way in football. Where you can't have outliers. Like, it just doesn't work. And that doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that, like, the outliers don't really make it. They don't string the team together. I played hockey. I was a professional hockey player for, you know, a while. And it's the same. But in my opinion, like, if you don't have the coach or the coach doesn't have the team under him, and, like, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what you do. Like, it's just not going to work. And Sean Payton's tried and tested and proven, and you have to buy into exactly what he wants to do and be able to, like, work with him and collaborate with him, and that's going to take more than a year. The fact that we went on that little run at the end and we ended up winning as many games as we did, like, yeah, we had the chance to turn it around, make the playoffs, like, you know, shockingly. But at the same time, that was year one. And look at what the Lions have done with, like, Dan Campbell. You know, it takes a second. And I think that I'm excited about next year, but we have to figure out what the hell is happening with quarterback position. I think it's still, like, you know, that's a tough one.
It's the biggest question mark, absolutely.
I mean, no, to nobody's listening, surprise. I mean, that's a that. I mean, he sold the farm for the guy who didn't deliver like you wanted him to. And now you have to live with that and not to figure out a way. There's no way he's coming back. Like, I can't imagine there's a way he's coming back. You know, there's no way. Like, I can't see it. It was just such a, you know, unceremonious way to end it.
Yeah.
I don't see how that works. You know?
Yeah. And so you're a dad yourself. I'm a dad to a 10-month-old son, and
congratulations.
As I understand, you have a new baby and a toddler as well.
Yeah, I got a 3-year-old and about a 7-day-old.
A 7-day-old, holy cow.
Yeah.
Are you raising them to be Broncos fans? Have you already taken them to games or done anything with that?
No. We're Broncos fans. We went to a Broncos game at SoFi against the Chargers when they won the last game against the Chargers. What Stick was playing. After Herbert got hurt. And I mean, it's like you're going to get into SoFi, it's like going to a home game for the Broncos, which is sea of orange. So it was really fun. I took my son, and we watch Broncos games every Sunday. It's like that's what we do, and to my wife's chagrin. And but she's gotten into it too, actually, because Buddy, my son, gets into it. He likes playing. I used to play this game with him called Bubba Broncos, where like basically it's just a tickle game where I like chase him. He goes Bubba Broncos, and I chase him around and tickle him, and so we play the Broncos game. So I've seared it into his mind that we are Broncos fans and nothing else. And that's what we live for on Sundays. You know, other football too, but when the Broncos are playing, I try to like clear my schedule.
Oh, absolutely.
He's gotten to like it too.
No, I went with my son to training camp when he was like 3 or 4 months old. And he's been watching the games with me, and he's having a lot of fun. Doesn't really understand a lot, but you know, it's a lot of fun. It's creating those memories.
My guys just gave me idea of like, we'll sit on the bed sometimes and watch it. And like, because it's quick. Like I'll get 30 minutes and then it's like, you know, we got to watch Blippi or like whatever other show there is out there. And then I'll have him, the computer, and he'll watch like his cartoons, and then I'll watch the Broncos game, so we can like, you know, just watch be together.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just kind of getting the idea now of like touchdown and like pass and throw and run and tackle.
Oh, that's awesome! And I know that. I know that those memories, I got them with my family, and I know passing them down to my son, you passing them down to your kids is just all that more important.
It really, it is, because like my wife and my only dad was like, oh my God, football Sunday is going to like ruin my life. And then as we had kids, it changed, because like it's a like it really is, like that's what you do with your family on Sundays. Like it's a family day. Now, like, I get it. It's annoying. I play fantasy football too, so it's like, you know, every game is kind of annoying. And then she's like, "There's football on Sunday. There's football on Monday. There's football on Thursday." Like, and then in the playoffs, there's football on Saturday. She's like, "This is insane."
Well, you can't forget college football on Saturdays. That's college football Saturdays.
I have to take college football day off.
Oh, okay.
That's a very great. If I was full on Saturdays with college, I'd be like divorced right now.
Got to keep the wife happy. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, it's important. And also, like, I need a break.
I hear you. Well, Wyatt, thank you so much for taking your time and for talking to our listeners today. We'll let you know when this comes out, but we're excited to go into this next season. Do you have any predictions about how well or if the Broncos are going to go back to the playoffs in 2024?
I mean, yeah, I'll predict that because I have to predict that. We gotta improve on Lester's record. I mean, it's gotta be better. If it's not better, we got problems, you know? So I'd like to see as a strong start. Like, let's just go there. Like, let's go, you know, 4-0. Let's finish the first quarter of the season, like, you know, undefeated. That's how I looked at hockey and stuff. Like, you can't look at the whole season in one go, but it's like, okay, if we're 4-0 at the beginning of the season, like, you're in a good spot. Then go from there. And then it's like, then you've got a shot. If you're 1-5, like, you're just grinding. They got a hole that they dug themselves out of, but, like, you know, couldn't quite overcome at the end of the day. Like, you just get it going. Get it started. Get a few wins under the belt.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Wyatt, for your time.
And when Lake Hour comes to Colorado, I'll let you know. We're not there yet. We're Minnesota, Georgia, Oklahoma, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And so we're going to be entering those states. So if any of the listeners are there, they can go grab them in those states coming up pretty soon. And Colorado will be soon to come.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.